What's up, everyone? This is your host, Marco.
And this is your host, Clayton.
And you're listening to
the Pre-Dental Podcast. Nice.
Boom. Yeah, these in-person ones are just so much better.
They are. It's hard high-fiving on Zoom and just like getting in sync on Zoom.
Yeah. Well, there's always just a little bit of lag in the internet.
It's kind of a little bit of lag in you.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I really don't.
Well, anyways, instead of just talking about recent events, because we're getting to the point where we don't really know when we're going to release these episodes.
We don't, and we don't really know any recent events either.
So instead, we are going to instill and impart some knowledge on y'all in the intro and in the episode.
We're going to put so much knowledge in your brains, it's going to start leaking out your ears.
Yeah, you know what they say, when it starts coming out your ears, grab a towel.
That's exactly what I say.
Anyways, what we're trying to tell you in this intro is that grocery shopping is a part of dental school.
It is. You don't think that you're going to have to worry about grocery shopping as much as you do, but you do. Oh, good. I just asked Marco if his phone was on Do Not Disturb, and then it goes off. You really don't think you're going to have to worry about grocery shopping as much, but you do, because, you know, if you have a busy week, you need to have your meals planned, or else you'll starve to death, or you're going to eat McDonald's 7 days out of the week, and you don't need to do that.
No, I mean, the school does have a cafeteria,
but eating
there every single day gets really expensive. Like, grabbing a snack every once in a while is fine, but there's so many different ways to get your groceries, and this is where we would put a paid promotion if we had one.
But we don't.
But we don't, so you're all adults. You know where to get your groceries.
Exactly.
Whether you have them delivered or you go pick them up in person.
Yeah, because you can like order your groceries on Sunday from Sam's or Walmart or wherever, and then you can go pick them up on Monday after you get out of class, and then they're sitting there waiting for you, so you don't have to wander around the grocery store wondering where the bags of flour are or whatever you're looking for.
Right. And the big tip of the day here is never grocery shop when you're hungry.
How and why do you know this, Marco?
Because I literally went grocery shopping this morning and then I ended up spending $120.
He ended up buying 12 pizzas.
I did buy 12 pizzas at $9 a piece plus tax.
That's all he bought. He bought nothing but pizza.
I eat nothing but pizza.
That's what he survives on. So he keeps his Italian up.
But no, seriously, don't grocery shop when you're hungry, because you're just going to grab so many things that you don't necessarily need. Making a list beforehand can be really helpful. And I know that seems pretty basic.
Yeah.
But you'd be surprised, because as soon as you get home, you're like, oh, dang, like, I forgot something. If only I had a list.
And it makes it like, once you start shopping in a grocery store long enough, you can almost put your list in order. Be like, okay, the vegetables go first and then the meat and then whatever. So it kind of makes it just easier going to the grocery store too.
Right. Like on my list, it's like the pizza goes first and then I grab another pizza. And I walk around for a minute to get some steps in, and then
where's the ravioli?
I did make some meatballs today. They were pretty good. I sprinkled some Parmesan in them, cracked an egg.
And then done. Didn't even cook them. They're finished.
Too easy. Well, we do have one more update before we get into the episode here.
Yeah.
It's kind of a
cool.
An interesting segue into the episode, but Clayton and I are known for taking a lot of shots here in New Orleans.
Very many shots of different variety shots.
You know, which was in my old life, you know, my new life, I don't take any shots besides the one that I just got and the one that I will be getting in a few weeks.
And what shot was that?
That was from our good friends at Pfizer. The COVID vaccination. So Clayton and I have both received the first round of the vaccine, and now we're waiting on round two.
I like to pronounce it Pfizer, but that's just the proper way to say it. But yeah, we both got our vaccine. We haven't grown the third arm like they had promised, but I'm still waiting on it. We'll see if that occurs. It could be handy in dentistry. We'll see.
Yeah, honestly, a third arm would be pretty sweet.
It would be so nice. You could hold the mirror and then have, you know, just two hands working. It would be just...
Well, it's like when you're in Op 2 clinic and you don't have an assistant.
Yeah.
You know, that third arm would come in handy.
Maybe the second dose.
Yeah, so we'll keep you guys updated for what happens when we get that second dose. Usually some of the more adverse reactions have been happening when people get that second dose, the first dose. I mean, I was just tired for a little while. I took a long nap, woke up the next day, felt kind of groggy, but I didn't feel sick necessarily.
Yeah, I didn't either. My arm just hurt like someone had headbutted it or something, and I couldn't sleep on it for like a day. But other than that, it was fine. I really didn't.
You also built like a string bean.
I am built like a big old muscle man. hey, I'm working out today.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I'm getting my 1 year workout in early. That way I don't have to work out anymore this year.
Clayton does only work out once a year.
It's how I maintain my string beaniness.
Well, anyways, we have a special interview lined up for you guys today.
Who's it with?
Me.
Who is our... Oh, damn it. I thought we were actually going to have a really good guest or something.
No, you got stuck with me.
Jeez.
Because this is where... One of the ways that Clayton and I differ, even though we've both received a vaccine, is that I previously had COVID and Clayton did not.
Because my immune system is just simply superior to Marco's.
You know, that's what happens when you just eat pasta.
That's exactly right.
Pizza for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
See, Marco does CrossFit. I don't do anything. And Marco got COVID, so therefore CrossFit causes COVID.
Yeah, I guess that's the problem with working out 5 to 6 days a week.
Exactly. So let's get this interview started with Marco Gargano. Marco.
Can you welcome me to the show here?
Welcome to our show. Actually, my show. It's the Clayton Podcast.
Wow. We're going to insert some random applause.
Yes,
here.
Please do that.
Just kidding. We don't edit these videos or audios.
We don't even listen to them before we post them. So, anywho. So, Marco, when exactly did you get the coronavirus?
Well, that's kind of a tricky question because the symptoms lay dormant for a couple days, so it's hard to tell exactly when I got it. However, I did test positive on... Let me pull out my calendar here.
He has it in his calendar. The date I tested positive.
No, I tested positive on the 18th because I started feeling symptomatic the night of the 16th, and then the 17th I started to really feel it. So I got a test scheduled for the 18th, and that's when I found out that I was COVID positive.
Very nice. How was the test? How did that go for you?
So I guess it was only the really early tests where they just, you know, were picking at your brain. Ugh. There. I never had to have one of those, and I heard horror stories about them. But no, I've received probably 3 or 4 COVID tests now.
Good
from
grief.
Before that to getting diagnosed to afterwards to make sure that I was then negative. And no, you just... put the Q-tip in your nose, you don't stick it but an inch in there, and you swirl it around a little bit, and that's it. I was not one of those people that got it shoved back to the crater of the earth.
The one that they did on me, they literally tried to take my brain out of my nostril, but...
Ooh, gosh,
no. It was not fun.
No, so I hope that that's the standard now for most people, that they get the COVID test and it's not picking your mind there.
Yeah,
it was not a bad experience. It was very quick. Got my results same day. I got it done at Walgreens, although there's several health centers that are offering quick services. Insurance should be covering pretty much all COVID tests. I haven't really heard of many insurance companies that are outright denying it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just ridiculous. If you have an insurance company that's denying a COVID test, that's just crazy. But why did you decide to get the COVID test? Were you symptomatic or did you have an exposure?
So that was the weird thing, is that I didn't think that I necessarily had an exposure. I went to a wedding the weekend before, but we were pretty good about isolating ourselves from a lot of the people. Like, not a lot of us went out to the dance floor or anything like that, and tried to wear masks when we could. And none of the people that I were with felt sick at all, and eventually come to find out that none of them had tested positive for COVID. So it's interesting that I did. But the reason why I got tested was because I just started feeling unwell. And it's interesting enough that usually it's fever and shortness of breath and headache that are predominant symptoms, loss of sense of taste and smell. But in my situation, I was one of the few patients that had the GI route. So GI is gastrointestinal. So to put it bluntly, I was having diarrhea for several days.
that's the absolute worst symptom possible.
Don't know how to go around that. You know, and you know, like for me personally, that happens every once in a while. But this was constant for several days. And I was like, man, like Did I
eat some bad pizza?
Yeah, I was like, God, like what did I eat here? So that happened, and I still felt fine. I even did CrossFit that Monday morning, felt totally normal. And then towards Monday evening, I started just feeling weak and tired. And I was like, wow, like I really like pushed myself in that workout this morning, like whatever. And then Tuesday, I go to school, and I don't know if you guys heard that, but that was my dog. She was she's asleep right now. But anyways, I went to school, and I really just started. I had the chills. I had achiness in my body. But it was the weirdest thing. I didn't lose my sense of taste or smell. And, excuse me here, I didn't have a fever. Because I went and got my temperature checked just to make sure if I needed to leave campus or not. And no fever at all. So eventually I just left school. I said I wasn't feeling well. And then that's when the show really started. As far as I started losing my breath. I had a horrible headache. So Wednesday morning, I got the COVID test scheduled, and by that afternoon, they had let me know that I had tested positive. I had some confusion. That's also a reported symptom in some people. Like, I remember I looked at my car, and for the love of God, like, for like a solid 10, 15 seconds, I couldn't remember which side the steering wheel was on. And I knew it was such a dumb thought, but I was like, man, like, is it on the left or the right? Like, I can't remember which side of the car to get on. And that was probably the scariest part of it. I was like, oh man, like, am I going insane here or what?
The answer is yes.
Yes. But headache for several days, shortness of breath. Thankfully, I was able to do a telemedicine appointment and get some medication, an albuterol inhaler, all that good stuff. And yeah, we'll talk about it more as we go through these questions.
Yeah, it's interesting that you didn't lose like your taste and smell. That would just seem like the worst possible side effect to me other than diarrhea. I mean, you lose your taste and smell. You don't even get to enjoy food while you're sick. You don't enjoy anything while you're sick. That's just awful to me.
Yeah.
So that's good that didn't happen. So let's talk about like just notifying the school. So you said you left school on that Wednesday because you didn't feel well. So how did you notify them after you tested positive?
So, thankfully, we didn't have class or anything that day in person. Well, I take that back. I had an afternoon class, but I went ahead and emailed that professor and said, hey, like, I'm really not feeling well, and I'm going ahead and getting a COVID test. So, you know, for the safety of everyone, I won't be attending. And, of course, the school has been more than understanding. Even if you've been in contact with someone, they highly encourage you not to show up. So, as soon as I found out I got the COVID test, I took screenshots of it. And I emailed it to the respective faculty members that I thought were in charge. And some of them were like, yes, like you emailed the right person. The other ones were like, oh, let me point you in the right direction right here. Went ahead and notified all of our faculty that I would have been in their classes in person for the next 2 weeks. And thankfully, it happened the week before Thanksgiving. So there really wasn't too much class that I was missing. And I only missed like one clinical appointment as far as seeing a patient goes. So yeah, so just emailed around and they were more than understanding. We got the paperwork done, and I think just being prompt and open with the school, like, you're not going to get in trouble for getting COVID. Like, that's not a thing. I had some professors reach out and they were just more so curious about what my condition was and how I was feeling and where I thought it got it from. But I think that was more out of general curiosity than it was a state of, oh, well, like, right, you're busted, yeah, like, you went to that wedding, gotcha, or anything like that.
Well, and it's good, too, that you, I think that's the important thing, is just be open and honest with your professors and tell them, don't get COVID and not tell anyone and then just not show up to class. Like, they need to know why you're not showing up to class. And also, don't get COVID and show up to class. Like, that is the worst possible thing you could do because you continue to spread it. Now, however, it's easier to take that advice when you're not in that situation, because I had a situation where I was exposed to COVID and I was like, well, I could just not tell them about it and I could, right, just show up to class because it's not likely that I have it. because I didn't want to get behind. But it's so much safer just to go ahead and just, you know, quarantine for the 7 days like you need to, and then show up to class. So don't put others at risk. So it's good that you did that.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to a bigger ethical dilemma that you got to think of it this way. So for me personally, I had a patient scheduled for that Friday. I really need to get more clinical hours in. Like I'm kind of hurting for patients right now, and that one was really going to help me. But here was my situation. First off, I didn't feel strong enough to go to school. Like I genuinely think if I tried to see that patient, I would have passed out from sheer exhaustion. Like I was just not feeling well. But second off, God forbid I passed COVID on to someone else at the school. Not only do they get sick, but you know, our classmates are relatively healthy and whatnot. But Thanksgiving was the next week. Like,
yep.
God forbid they go home and they see their families, they give COVID to one of their family members, and then one of their family members is immunocompromised and something unfortunate happens to them, whether it be a hospitalization or a death. And, you know, I try not to go down rabbit holes with many things in life, but that's not an unheard of scenario. And that's happened a lot of times where people come home to visit their families and they didn't know that they had COVID, or they just had very minor symptoms. And then an extreme case goes to their parents or loved ones, and it just gets very unfortunate.
Exactly. Exactly. And well, that's what happened. My poor sister. So my sister is a nurse and she works in a COVID unit. Well, she started getting a cough and like runny nose and everything. And she was like, well, I'll always get a cold this time of year. You know, it's fine. Well, my dad is immunocompromised, and she went home, and my mom and dad ended up getting it. And my dad was sick for a month and in and out of the hospital. So you just have to think about others. And I think that's what Marco and I have been trying to preach, you know, since this all started. Like, it's not just about you. It's also about other people and keeping other people safe. So, Marco, how was it being quarantined?
So quarantine was an interesting process for me, because I consider myself an extreme extrovert, where I love being outside. I love getting to hang out with friends. We were supposed to have a socially distanced gathering that weekend. I'm pretty sure the event ended up getting canceled, but I was just devastated that I couldn't be there. And the first couple days were rough because I felt like I was going to miss out on a lot. I had to call my parents and let them know that I wasn't going to be coming home for Thanksgiving, and I hadn't already seen them in several months. So that was unfortunate. But, you know, honestly, after the first couple days, it was really nice.
just being able to chill. And because when you're quarantined, you don't feel the obligation of having to go anywhere because you can't. So it's just...
Right. You know, and there's only so many things you can do. Like, my room was spotless. Yeah. I did all my laundry. Like, I did so many things that I had neglected simply because I'd be running around or hanging out with friends and things like that. Then eventually you're like, well, like, I guess it's me time. And I started watching a lot of YouTube videos. I played a bunch of Xbox and really just enjoyed my time to myself. And I think it speaks to a larger idea that even when you feel as though you're at your busiest and you're stressed out to the max, that you need to find time for yourself. Like, you need to recharge at certain points, whether it's just going outside and going for a walk or cutting yourself off from studying at 7 o'clock. And you're like, all right, well, until I go to bed at 9 or 10, I mean, I don't know what time people average go to bed, because I go to bed very early.
See, I cut myself off from studying just period.
That yeah, just helps that's recharge. The Clayton method. Right? You just don't study at all.
Just recharge that way.
But yeah, you know, finding that time to do things that make you happy or explore things that you're interested in.
So you had a lot of time to recharge and watch YouTube and everything. Were you still doing school and stuff during this time? How was that?
I kind of was, yeah. So I went ahead and emailed my professors that I was going to be dealing with in the online setting. And I said, hey, listen, like, I'm not feeling too hot. I have COVID. Like, I still feel up to the challenge of taking this test and finishing out this class for until we go to break. But if things worsen or take a nosedive, like, you'll be the first one I notify. And they were all okay with that. You know, they said, hope you have an uneventful recovery. Like, Hope it's all good. But yeah, if things change, let me know. So I was able to power through and get it done. And I credit a lot of that just to the fact that I was able to just sleep all day.
Yeah.
I mean, I would wake up, I would study for an hour or two. I would develop like a pounding headache and then I would just go back to bed. Also just having very supportive friends in the area that went to the grocery store for me and got Gatorades for me and emergency and chicken noodle soup and all these great things that helped me feel a lot better. So it was more of an optional point, but with our semester being so incredibly busy, I didn't want to get behind and have to play the catch-up game whenever I came back. So I kind of toughed it out. Although I would say the advice for anyone is that, you know, if it's truly going to hurt your grades because you can't study, then yeah, just let them know and you'll make it up whenever you're back to normal.
Do you feel like your grades suffered because you had COVID and had to quarantine?
Probably a little bit. You know, I took that oral pathology test and it was all online and, you know, I felt okay about it, but I was still below the class average on it, which, you know, isn't unheard of for me. But anyways, I think maybe if I was like at the peak of my game, then maybe I could have done better for it because I did study extremely hard for it even before I got COVID. But I think that's also just a self-evaluation of where you're at in school. So for me, you know, I've pretty much made the decision where I'm fairly certain I'm not going to specialize. So
welcome to the dark side.
So as long as you're passing, then, you know, what's the point? Like,
amen.
A B or a C or a B or an A on your transcript, like in the grand scheme of things, what difference does it make? I know personally I've had several job offers and I've only been asked about my grades once. And the only reason the guy asked at all was because he wanted to tell me a story about how he was the ultimate middleman. So he had 62 people in his class and he was like, you know, like I didn't want to be a gunner and I didn't want to, you know, really stand out in my class, but I also wanted to try and had like a fair amount of pride in my work. So he's dedicated himself to being right in the middle. And sure enough, at the end of his first year, he was 31 out of 62 and he still had a big smile on his face and he was ecstatic. He was like, yeah, like it's like I hit that mark right in the middle. But that was the only reason why he had asked me about my grades is to segue into that story. So with general dentistry, it looks a lot different. Maybe with a GPR, they might look at your grades a little more, but that's nothing to worry about. So yeah, you know, if you have a 4.0 and you're like, oh my God, I haven't been able to study, like this test might tank my grade, then yeah, do what you need to do. You should always put yourself in the best academic situation possible for your circumstances. But
well, and like the oral path exam, if you would have contacted them and said, hey, I have COVID, I don't feel good, could I like postpone this? They would have let you do that. So it's okay to reach out to your professors and ask that because, I mean, they know that you're not going to do well if you're sick and, you know, everything. So just feel free to reach out to them. But Mark, I wasn't. Wasn't too concerned about it, so he went ahead and took it. But don't feel afraid to reach out to your professors and just tell them, not feeling great, don't think I can do this. Okay, next question. How long did it take you to completely recover?
Oh, man. So that was the weird part of it, is that I had been working out for several months beforehand and really getting in good physical shape. So when it hit me like a freight train, I was almost surprised. I was like, man, you know, like, it affects those who are immunocompromised or obese or just older a lot more severely than it does the general populace. But I mean, there was a point in my recovery time where I truly felt as though I needed to go to the hospital. And, you know, for whatever reason, I didn't. And thankfully, my situation didn't worsen, but I couldn't sleep at night. I was in cold sweats. Like, I just felt awful. And I would say the worst of it was for about 4 days. So from that Wednesday, like Tuesday night, Wednesday morning was really when I hit my low point. Wednesday night, Thursday morning was also an extremely low point. And then by Sunday, I didn't feel like I was dying, I guess. not to be too dramatic, but like, you know, I wasn't having to use my inhaler quite as much during the day. But I would say that first week is a game changer of like where you're going to be at. And I started recovering little by little. And then that next week, I still just felt ill. I remember just like feeling awful and not really doing much. But at that point, I was also very lethargic. It was just like so deep in GTA 5 and Grand Theft Auto 5 and my video games and stuff that I was like, oh, this whole not moving thing is getting kind of nice. I would like push myself. Like first couple days, like when I would let Stella out to use the restroom, I would just like stand outside and try and get some sun for like 5 minutes. And I remember I almost passed out just from standing there for 5 minutes. Like I was extremely winded, and that was probably for the full first week. And then that next week I started going for small walks around the neighborhood, of course, like by myself, like not around anyone. Like if I saw even anyone walking on the other side of the street, like I put a mask on, like, you know, really just try to be careful. But I think, you know, there's this idea that like, oh, like if you have COVID or you've been in contact with someone with COVID, that like you just need to like lock yourself in your room. Right. And I think that's true for like first couple days, because you're probably not going to have enough energy to do anything else anyways. But at some point, your body does respond well to active recovery, and you need to get moving and you need to get grooving.
When did you do that? Didn't you do a marathon like not long after that?
I did. And that was one of the worst decisions of my life. But I had already booked this marathon. So let me pull out the handy dandy calendar here and I can tell you exactly when I did this marathon. So I was diagnosed with COVID on the 14th.
I thought you were diagnosed the 18th.
Oh, that's October. You're right. So I was diagnosed on the 18th of November. And then, so that first week was awful. And then that second week really started to like go for some walks again, maybe jog a little bit here and there. But I wasn't doing more than a mile or a mile and a half. And then that third week was when I started feeling better, but just not all there. And then on December 9th, yep, because I remember I started it at like 6 that morning, and then we had a pharmacology final that I had to come in and take, and then I went back out to finish the marathon.
So basically like 3 weeks? 3 weeks?
Yeah, so basically 3 weeks, and I was just absolutely dead after that. My marathon time was pathetic. We're not going to talk about it, but it was also my first marathon, but it was just, I mean, my body truly gave out. I was limping. I remember we did something
yes.
that night, and I needed help carrying yeah. stuff.
Oh yeah, what was that?
Was that when we were doing the Christmas special?
Yeah,
yeah. It was. So that was when we made our Christmas special. But yeah, so I would say it took about a month to just fully recover from COVID, to really start feeling like myself again, to really start like getting after it in my workouts and feeling like the old me. So yeah, about a month.
So you mentioned taking Stella out and, you know, just having to take her out and care for her. Do you think having a dog kind of helped during the recovery process?
I think so in my situation, but I also have an old lazy dog.
Yeah.
So I think in your case, with Millie or Winnie, yeah. that it's like hyperactive and like those dogs like have to play. I think that would have actually hindered me
yeah.
because I wouldn't have been outside to go throw the ball or anything like that. Like I truly just felt that weak, and that's how a lot of people feel when they have COVID, versus Stella was ecstatic that
she feels weak too.
Yeah. That we could spend all day in bed watching movies and just sleeping. I mean, she's a 10-year-old black lab. Like yeah. she's fat and lazy.
She is.
She's awesome. Like perfect dental school dog.
Awesome quarantine pal.
She's literally sitting behind me right now, sleeping.
Winnie would be standing on the table licking the microphone right now. So
yeah, no, she's been asleep for most of this interview. But yeah, so in that situation, it was awesome because I had a little buddy during quarantine, and like it was really nice to just be around her and like have a little companion. But you know, I think if you have like a young hyperactive dog or a dog that needs a lot of special attention and whatnot, that it's gonna be tough. But people also react to COVID differently. So one of my best friends recently got COVID and he lost his sense of taste and smell, but that was it. Like he had no decrease in energy. Like he locked himself in his apartment, but he was still getting a lot of like at home workouts in and really just feeling fine. So I guess it just depends on who you are and how your body reacts. But in my situation, I, even growing up as a child, I would always get very sick. So I didn't get sick often, but when I did, it was excruciating. So like when I got the flu, like I was hospitalized when I was like 12, I think, with the flu, just because my body was so dehydrated and I felt so weak. And that's just how my body reacts to when I get sick. Like I don't get sick but once every couple of years, but when I do, it's
big time.
It's game on.
So we are almost exactly 3 months out today from you getting COVID. Have you completely recovered? Have you caught up in school? How is everything looking now?
Yeah, I feel good. I feel fine. I'm thankful that I haven't really had any long-term effects from it. Even in my workouts, I've been able to breathe fine, breathe normally, or at least breathe as best as I can during like a long run or something like that. So that's been good. Unfortunately, there's been some people that have experienced long-term side effects, and that's why people need to take COVID so seriously, is because you don't know how it's going to hit you. Like, I'm a fairly active 24-year-old guy that works out 5 to 6 times a week, and I thought I was going to die when I had COVID. Like, not even trying to be dramatic, I had very much difficulty breathing, versus some people who have long-term side effects and will probably never breathe the same. We're seeing some cardiovascular problems that are related to COVID recovered patients. So yeah, you know, I'm thankful and I'm blessed to be fully recovered, at least to what I feel like. You know, I still have confusion, but I think that's
that's not going away.
I think that's more so just, you know, where my head's at.
Yeah, that's here to stay.
But no, I feel good.
Heineken Zero that you've been drinking that's leading to confusion.
Okay, so if y'all have ever, if you're looking to give up alcohol, but like you just genuinely like the taste of beer, then congratulations, like you're with me. Where like I just like genuinely like the taste of beer, but ever since Clayton's wedding, I've been on a self-imposed alcohol hiatus, and for reasons that we will not talk about in this podcast. But anyways, yeah, we had a birthday dinner the other night, and good morning, Stella, and I drank a Heineken Zero, and everyone was making fun of me, but they taste so good. They taste just like a regular Heineken. It's so good. You put a lime in there. Oh my gosh.
You know what you put a lime in? A regular Heineken.
I'm pretty sure Budweiser also has a 0% alcohol beer now. And it's not like O'Doul's. Like O'Doul's has like a tiny bit of alcohol. But no, I mean,
we're actually being sponsored by Heineken Zero. That's why we're bringing this up.
Yeah. Okay. We're doing Webmaster here.
O'Doul beer alcohol content, 0.4%.
Yeah, so you would have to drink like 10 of those just to have the effect of one beer.
Yes.
But you could drink 10 Heineken Zeros and have the effect of a glass of water.
Well,
as far as sobriety speaks.
Yeah, water with calories.
Yeah, because there's a lot of carbs and stuff in it too. But hey, just having one with some tacos, ooh, is good.
Golly. Okay, well, that's a good note to end on. I hope that y'all have learned something for this interview. If you currently have COVID and you're just kind of wondering like how to navigate this situation with your professors, reach out to us. We'd be glad to help you navigate this process. We know it's not easy. We know you haven't been through this before. So just feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to help out.
Exactly. And even if you fully recover from COVID, you're going to have the antibodies for a bit, but it's still very important to wear a mask and try and limit your social circles. And you would think, well, I'm immune to it. Why should I do that? And it's like, well, yes, like you have immunity, but the science is still not developed as to how transmission works. So one of my friends actually retweeted a tweet the other day that he was like, I think it's just asinine and stupid that once you get the vaccine that you should still be wearing a mask and socially distancing. Like, that's just absurd. And I sent him an article that talked about how we don't know how the transmission works. And also the vaccines, excuse me, we have are great, but they're not 100% effective. Nope. So even if you get the vaccine, there's still a chance that you can contract COVID. Well, it's not an end-all be-all.
Well, it's just like the flu vaccine because, I mean, the majority of us get the flu vaccine, but you can still get the flu. So you just have to know that it's not going to be 100%. Yes, it's going to help out drastically when all of us start getting vaccinated, but it's not the end of it. So just be safe. Be careful.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have heard it preached for months and years, or almost a year now.
Yeah, we're almost to March. We're like not many months away from March.
Right.
Kind of scary.
So just be safe out there. Reach out to us if you guys have any questions. We're always here to help. And that's
about a wrap.
That's a wrap, folks. This has been your host, Marco.
And this has been your host, Clayton.
And you've been listening to the
Pre-Dental Podcast. That was the best one yet.
Oh, yeah.